Blog Talk Radio.
As we proceed, give you what you need.
This is the one Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Buggy.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Thank you for hanging out with me every single day right here on Life Remix Radio. It's, oh, God, everybody, it's snowing here in New York. Y'all know I hate the snow. Give me a second. I'm moving back to the ATL. Actually, no, I think I like New York better. New Yorkers just have this little hip-hop swaggerific thing going on. I love my ATLians and I love my sweet tea, but you know what? They make a big deal out of all the snow here in New York, and you know what? It's not even sticking to the ground. I mean, this is so lame. Well, y'all know, you listen to me every single day. I've got two kids, and my son is like, my 15-year-old is like, Ma, it's going to snow. I can't go to school. I'm like, yo. You know, then you break out what your parents used to say. I remember when I was in school and we had to walk, and he's like, yo, are you serious? But it's all good. Big shout out to everybody that's making it through the wet, slushy, sticky snow in New York City. You know what? We're troopers. New Yorkers just have this thing about us. We can make it. Big shout out to everybody that's joining me in the chat room. Thank you so much. Big shout out to everybody who downloads Life Remix Radio through their iPods. So everybody who's working out in the gym, I'm living vicariously through all y'all, because I just wait till the spring comes before I start trying to make it to the gym. And just a quick smile to everybody who listened to the show yesterday. I had a life coach on, Gary Glasscock, but before the show started, I shared how I made a chocolate chip cookie with the nuts in the middle and then put more dough on top and ended up with this really huge cookie. So that was my little treat for yesterday. So it's all good. It's all good. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Listen, you know what today is. Today is Tuesday, and we talk politics for the whole show. PoliticsRemix.com is my blog. And, you know, with Barack Obama being president, you know, we got a lot of things to think about. He's caused us to look at politics differently. He's caused us to change and shift our perspective on how we view and do American politics. And for all of you who did not get it yet, go cop my book, Politics Remixed. It dropped on Election Day. And today I'm joined, well, you know, I'm not even going to say who it is. I'm going to let him bring I'm going to let him just kind of introduce himself in a moment. But before we bring our special guest on for today's show, just a couple things, like what we're going to talk about for today. We're definitely talking about Barack Obama keeping his BlackBerry. I've spoken with a lot of people, average citizens, and a couple of, you know, trendsetters in hip-hop about the whole impact and the implications of Barack Obama keeping his BlackBerry. You know, is it part of change? Is it because he's trying to covertly keep his list of donors? So we're definitely going to talk about that. Are black men really standing up now? You know, are black men cutting their dreads? Are black men pulling up their pants? Are black men enrolling in college? Y'all know I have two sons. You know, I was a teenage mom. But, you know, one of my sons graduated high school last year, and I've got another one in the 10th grade. And, you know, are they pulling up their pants? Are they trying to do big things? Or are we still going to use the guys, and I'm carefully using the word excuse, that the white man is keeping us down? So we're going to touch on that. And then I want to touch a little bit about activism. You know, what can we do in our communities, and what can we do to keep the agenda pushing forward? Or are we just going to kind of fall back and let Barack Obama do his thing, and we keep drinking the Barack Obama Kool-Aid and think he's going to fix all of our problems with his magic BlackBerry? So anyway, that's some of the stuff we're talking about today on Politics Remix. So good looking out to everybody who is tuning in. And you know I had to get my biggie drop in there. You know, as we proceed to give you what you need, it's your girl Cy Brown right here on Politics Remix. Big shout out to True View Radio who just joined me in the chat room. True, what's going on, darling? It's good to see you. I'm going to bring in my guest right now who I will let introduce himself. Are you there with us, Hakeem? Oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to unmute his line, everybody. I think I can get it in right now. Hakeem, are you there?
I'm here. Hakeem Green, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yo, I know who you are, and you can probably tell in my voice how goofy and how giddy I am to have you with us. Tell all my listeners who you are, what you're doing, and why you're hanging out with me today.
This is Hakeem Green from Channel Live. All we do is spark madism for those people who are true hip-hop aficionados. Executive Director of the Stop the Violence Movement and CEO of For Life Initiative, which is what I'm working on presently. That's what it is. I'm joined today with you to talk about politics.
That's what it is.
Yeah, man. So,
well, you know what's funny, too, Hakeem, I may have to bring you back on a Friday, and let me just tell you why, and my listeners are going to go nuts in a minute, because all week long, you know, we talk about personal development, self-help, knowledge of self, and one Friday, I was just like, you know what, everybody, I'm tired of having these heavy shows, you know, look deep inside yourself, and what is the hidden message, and I said, you know, one Friday, I'm like, yo, I'm doing an old-school hip-hop flashback, and I played Kwame, and I played I paid Bismarck and the Fat Boys, and the show went wild. So every Friday, I play old school hip hop. So I think I'm putting it on record right now. I got to have you back and co-host with me one Friday when I just do my Welcome to the Weekend show. So.
Oh, man, I would love to. I would love to. I'm a patient right there.
Oh, that's what it is. Look, True and Hyrule, one week we played, I had this past Friday, I did a tribute to Naughty by Nature, and the week before, I did a tribute to Bobby Brown, and I have a lot of people that listen to my show. They're at work, so, you know, they're the closet hip-hoppers that are real poised at their desk, but, you know, they're really just like me and you, and my one friend, Vernon, in D.C., was like, yo, Cy, I'm secretly putting my Gumby wig on.
she said the Gumby wig, what, yo? So everybody had a Gumby. I was the... I'm light-skinned, so in 1989, my hot-top fade had to be about 7 inches high. And I used to get mistaken for Kid and Play all the time.
That's what it is. I had Play on the show. We had a show on Can Hip Hop Be Holy, and he came on the show. So my show is live, and we're here every single day at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. But it's all good. You know, I got a great following, and I'm so happy. And, you know, just behind the scenes, I know you and I are going to be working on some stuff together. Everybody knows I was KRS-One's personal assistant for a while. So working with Chris just opened my eyes to a lot of things and probably helped get me on the road to do this show, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. He's definitely an inspiration for all of us.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
In any shape or form, he inspires us to, you know, to really keep it, quote-unquote, keep it real in hip-hop.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we jump into today's show, just so you're aware, a lot of my listeners are all over the country since this show is an internet show. So one of my listeners, Hyrule, said, "Put your keep your Gumby wig in the freezer so it maintains its shape."
Yeah.
Hyrule, you're too funny. I'll be in D.C. In 2 weeks, Hyrule. We're supposed to be having dinner with your family. But let's get right into today's topic. First of all, what do you think about Barack Obama? I want to get in that first before we move into other stuff. What do you think?
Okay, well, you know, in terms of him as a man, and I mean, I don't know him personally, but from what I see, I think that he was the best choice for president. I'm speaking totally about image.
Okay.
Like, he's, to me, the greatest example of statesmanship we've had since probably JFK.
Wow.
He's, a, you know, very intelligent, articulate, city issues. You know, he's just, he's polished. Like, he's got it down pat. I think that he is the corporation's best example of leadership, the management capacity. Now, mind you, I said corporation. That's another that's another topic. Now, in terms of what he means for us, in terms of the race card, I think that we as a people, so black people, people of color, however you want to shake that up, we tend to be very emotional.
Yes, baby, say it.
We're driven too often by emotion. Not saying emotion is a bad thing. Emotion out of control and not in the proper context is a bad thing. I think that we do things too many times out of emotion. I think that a lot of us voting this first time or voting for Barack Obama, it was out of the emotion of having the first black, well, he's actually not the first black president. That's another story.
Yeah, all right. You came to the right show to speak it. Keep going.
However, because we're not really doing the knowledge and we're not putting his presidency in the proper context, when you hear him say democracy, if you are a true American, you know that that is a bad word, democracy. We weren't built to be a democracy, and when you understand what a democracy is, you understand it's the next step, or it's the step before socialism and totalitarianism. It's the next step before the state machine takes over, and, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, there's so many different ways of looking at the Barack Obama presidency.
You touched on a few things. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. You touched on a few things. Everybody was harsh to me, jumped down my throat, because I said that I'm not, and unfortunately I should have known better as a media person, I said I'm not voting for Barack Obama just because he's black, and I'm not drinking from the Obama Kool-Aid. But I say that because at the onset of his campaign, black people, I felt, were just Barack Obama. I said, you don't even know what he stands for. Nobody even knows what his position is. I said, I go to a PTA meeting, and there's no black parents there, yet all these churches are making pilgrimages to go see Barack Obama speak. And it frustrated me because everybody I felt is following behind Barack Obama, but you're not even tending to your own backyard. And everybody's like, sigh, he's black, you should. And I said, well, if we're going under the guise and under the premise that he's a black candidate, why was this support not there for Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Cynthia McKinney, Michael Steele, who's now the head of the Republican convention? Why was our support not there for them?
Ron Daniels, Lenora Filani.
Yes.
You know, because we live in a media-driven society, and, you know, marketing and promotion is key. The brainwashing mechanism is very, very key. And the powers that be, for some reason, felt that Barack Obama was their choice to lead the New World Order into place. Or I should say, to lead America into the New World Order. So, I'm not pro or con when it comes to Barack Obama. I just like to look at it for what it truly is. And, you know, whenever I hear him push the word democracy, I cringe because he was a Harvard University constitutional law professor. So he knows that the word democracy is nowhere in the Constitution, that this government was not created to be a democracy, and him pushing it is, in my opinion, is treasonous.
Wow. All right, let me read you some stuff that's jumping off in the chat room. Hyrule put, I think Jesse could have made it if it wasn't for his Jewish statement. And the other comment is, because every brother ain't a brother, talking about Michael Steele. But I'm talking about it from a black perspective, Hyrule. And you know I'm for Obama now because he's our president and we should stand behind him. But Hakeem just made a very valid point. You know, everyone's talking certain things about Barack Obama. He's also a politician.
Word.
A very well-educated and astute politician. Before I started this show, I had never been on radio except for a few radio interviews. And when I made the decision, I'm going to go into radio, and I'm on regular radio and internet radio, I studied radio, drops, boards, all the things necessary to help me rock my lane. Do we not think he's done the same from a political perspective?
I think Barack is intelligent, smart, studied. Like he don't miss a beat.
No.
He knows what's up. Some reason, I don't believe he's sharing the whole truth. I know he's not sharing the whole truth.
I agree.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't think that everyone should be privy to the truth all the time.
I agree.
But I don't know what the end game to the whole thing is. I know Michelle Obama carries a lot of weight. She might be more powerful than Barack. She sits on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Federal Reserve Bank, these are the institutions that have the most power as we move to this new world government. The Congress, Senate, Supreme Court, the executive branch, these entities don't hold the power that they used to, largely due to us being in debt to the Federal Reserve since 1933.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were turned over to the Federal Reserve with the New Deal put in place by FDR. The financial crisis in 1929, the Wall Street crash was planned by the international bankers. So America would have to turn to the international bankers for, you know, financial support. And then there was a series of events that took place between 1929, really between World War One and the end of World War II. World War II was like the military action that brought the one world order into place. And of course, we know about the UN. We know about the foundation of Israel as a state. But what most people miss is that the nation that we know of as America was bankrupted at that time, and we basically enslaved ourselves to the Federal Reserve.
Wow, I didn't know that, but let me just tell you real quick. I just got a note in the chat room that said he is bringing it, talk about the Fed. Somebody else put in the chat room, Sharpton, Sharpton is messy, and they're not insiders. And True, who listens to the show every day, put, that's why Barack has the BlackBerry. Let me bring this into the equation. A friend of mine, you know, I talk to some intellectuals at times. I have a little bit of smarts in me. But we were talking, we had a very in-depth conversation about Barack Obama's BlackBerry. Now, being a Gen Xer, growing up in New York City, progressive, I'm like, let him keep the BlackBerry. Does it really make a difference? And this is what he said. He said, Cy, if he keeps that BlackBerry, he still has the ability to connect with donors unbeknownst to Americans. Now, I said I thought everything that the president talks about is part of public record because of what happened with Nixon and Watergate. And he made a very valid point. He said, Saida, that list that Barack Obama built through the internet of donors, that's his list. So after me doing a little bit more digging and a little bit more research, I saw where Barack Obama has actually engaged allegedly engaged in leasing out or renting, for lack of a better term, his list out to the Democratic National Committee. He actually owns that list of all 30-something million people that gave to his campaign. Now, I don't think he has all of those people on his BlackBerry, but do you think that him keeping the BlackBerry is significant? Because he now can communicate unbeknownst to us, or it really doesn't make a difference?
I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think it makes a difference. I also want to say all I don't know the name of the company, but all cell phone, no matter what company you belong to, all cell phone and digital records ultimately get stored or recorded at a place in Israel.
What?
Yeah, like this whole New World Order thing is way farther than people realize.
Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because I guess I'm not that well versed in that.
the New World Order is, I mean, it's not really that new. It's been around probably all of human history, and that's really just, you know, man or a group of people wanting to control the world, wanting to run the world. It's a historic movement that's been going on for a long time, but we've been seeing it advance very quickly, probably over the last 40 to 50 years. America, people understand, all right, America, the United States of America, all capital letters, is a corporation. It's not a country. It's not a nation.
Say word. That it's not word. I know a lot about politics, and I study politics, and I'm very familiar with the New World Order, but things you're dropping right now, I just did not know.
Whenever you see the name of something in all capital letters, that means it's a corporation. It's a corrupted version of the name. Like your name on your driver's license, your name on your birth certificate, Social Security, you'll see it's all capital letters. Whenever your name is in all caps, that's not your name. It's a corrupted version of your name representing the corporation that was formed at your birth.
Wow.
Corporations, limited liability corporation. Corporations are not flesh and blood individuals. They're not real. The root word of corporation is corpse. A corpse is dead.
Wow.
Right, so what it is the powers that be, because God created man, man can't tell God what to do. Man created governments and corporations. Therefore, governments and corporations are not supposed to tell man what to do. So what they did was they tricked us into contracting our liability over to our personal corporations, which are all capital letter names.
Wow, and you know what? A friend of mine told me once that once a child is born, and this I can't refute or agree with because I don't know, I haven't done the research, but once a child is born and gets a Social Security number, they're automatically financed by outside interests.
Well, what happens is, again, because corporations can't tell a flesh and blood, divinely created being what to do. Can't. So it tricks us into assigning over our rights over to the corporation, which is your all capital lettered name. The first time that appears is on your birth certificate. Your birth certificate is owned, or actually it's sold to the Department of Commerce. All birth certificates are held by the Department of Commerce.
Are you serious?
Serious. Your birth certificate. If you look at the birth certificate on the bottom or the back, there's a red representing your blood, a red number on it. That number is filed with the UCC, which is the Unified Commercial Code. All UCC codes ultimately end up in the Vatican. The Vatican controls all UCC contracts and so forth and so on. The paper that your birth certificate is on is a bond certificate. Therefore, all individuals with a birth certificate, a bond certificate, are in bondage. We are all slaves, Vatican.
Wow.
America, United States of America, the corporation, isn't America, the body of land. The body of land that you're born on is where your sovereignty rights exist. The all capital letter USA is not a sovereign entity. It's a corporation with a corporate charter, and all corporate charters have an end date, like they expire at some point. It's going to expire.
Right.
Right. The United States of America, the corporation, is going to expire. And when it does, it will have to replace it with something else. Talk about change.
Wow.
We all wanted change, didn't we? Well, it's coming, and a black man leading us there makes sense because we wouldn't let a white man lead us there.
You know, let me say that real. Let me speak to that issue very quickly. I believe once I saw Obama winning, I said, and I'm on record, actually on video on YouTube, saying this guy is going to be our president. But this is why, because right now I believe he's going to go unchallenged for almost anything he says, because even if he comes out and says the sky is now purple, people are going to believe it because it's all under the guise of change. So anything that he decides to implement or anything or any program or this whole BlackBerry issue, you know, that was, I can't think of what it's called, but that was the test to see what he can do. And that's why I think the BlackBerry issue was extremely insignificant. No president has ever carried a BlackBerry. So I believe he said, I want to keep my BlackBerry. And when they said, but Mr. President, no president keeps a BlackBerry, he can go back and say, I don't want to be out of touch. I ran a very technologically advanced campaign. I believe I should keep the BlackBerry. And they said, they, whoever they is, you know what, this is about change. Okay, Mr. President, you keep your BlackBerry. And I think what that served as is a litmus test to see how far he can use change to divert our attention into other things. Please know, for the record, everybody, I am a Barack Obama supporter, but I also think we have to be cognizant and aware of things and not be blinded by the fact that we have a black president and Sasha and Malia are cute. I believe that BlackBerry issue was nothing more than a litmus test, because now he can come out and say, you know what, we are going to do X. And some people may balk. They may be like, Mr. President, dude, come on, we don't do that. Well, you wanted change, and because he was able to galvanize millions upon millions upon millions, and people are afraid to go against him so early on, they're going to say, okay. And in theory, a lot of damage can be done in the next year or two under the guise of change. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a 52 fake out.
Yeah.
Oh, what changed, but we don't know what the change is going to be. I got an article sent to me about a Russian, I want to say either law professor or professor of politics or something, some famous dude from Russia, predicted the entire collapse of the United States in 2010. And what he said was that the Atlantic states from Maine down to, I want to say, maybe North Carolina, South Carolina, or Georgia maybe, was going to the European Union. Mexico was going to take everything from New Mexico over to Florida. China, Japan were going to split Oregon on down to the southern part of California. Canada was going to take the north, like the middle states, the north middle states, you know, Illinois, Michigan, all that across. Ohio was going to go over to Canada. And, like, what does that mean? That means that, you know, the financial, because remember, we don't have a government. Really,
right.
we have a corporation, right? So what we're talking about is that the financial interest to the corporation is being turned over to foreign interest.
Why is that? Why are we just giving away the ranch? Why are we just giving everything away? Damn, I'm sick of it.
Because Americans are ignorant, period, point blank. Americans are ignorant and don't know their history and don't know why it was established, for what reason, and how we should function in our original state. The country was created to be a republic, with the federal government having very, very limited powers.
That I know for a fact, because the way the Constitution and things were set up, it gave the states almost total control. And as I understand it, the only reason a federal government was established was to just kind of not have the states totally going off on their own tangent.
Well, yeah, it was the federal government was formed first and foremost to be able to organize a military to protect the states, the unified states,
right.
The united part in our nation's name. It's actually not the name. It's a description. It's an adjective. United meaning the states are united. The states is capitalized. United States of America, the continent. But what we've taken that to mean, like, the United States is like one big nation, and then that helps to strengthen the centralized government, which for the founding fathers, that was like the enemy. That was the worst thing that could happen, was a strong central government, because then it could be overrun. It could be gutted out and wrong interests could be involved.
But let me ask you, you know, clearly you're well-versed in your studies. And
I'm all right.
I'm
just learning.
Well, you know, and I'm pretty smart. You know, I wrote Politics Remixed, and that's one of six books that I've written. But this information that we're even sharing between each other and however many listeners that are enjoying this conversation live and however many will download it later through iTunes or listen to the archives, how come we're not learning this information through schools, through conversations? It's not part of our lexicon. It's not part of our dialogue. Why is that? Is it because people just don't want to know? Is it because it's hidden? Why is that?
It's not hidden. It's hidden. It's hidden in plain view. It's right there. The information is for you. If you
Whoa.
Go to the library, if you open up an encyclopedia, if you go on the internet and Google it, it's there. It's there. It's not. They're not hiding it. It's just that they bombard us with so much insignificant information, and we're so superficial. What we tend to deal with, we don't pay attention. I remember learning this stuff in school. I remember teachers posing certain questions, not providing the answer, but posing certain questions in a way where, you know, the answer was supposed to come to me then, but I was so consumed with bull that I wasn't, I've always been into history. But a lot of the things that I'm learning now, I was exposed to it when I was in junior high school and high school. I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Wasn't paying attention. When you talk about the New Deal program, we discussed the New Deal when I was in high school and as part of my history class. We discussed the New Deal. We discussed states' rights versus, you know, the strong central government. We discussed that. But we didn't connect the dots. That's where we were. We didn't take interest in what was happening because we didn't think it related to us or applied to us. We look at ourselves as victims. We look at ourselves as like we have no power. And that's like America was set up so for the sovereign, free, intelligent, disciplined, moral, the key word, moral, M-O-R-A-L, moral human being, govern isn't herself. When you're a moral person, a law-abiding, now, when you're a law-abiding citizen, you can put the police in jail.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, that I know.
And it's really, our system is set up. So if you have a problem with the police, you can make a citizen's arrest and put them in jail. That's what the Black Panthers were doing. Now we see how many years later Oscar Grant go down, and once again, as the sisters in the Bay Area, showing us we have the power to put the police in jail.
Yeah.
But what's happening is we're voluntarily giving up our rights for that curse, bullshit privileges.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather have the convenience of privilege, because it makes us feel special, rather than God-given rights. We're trading in our God-given rights for man-given privileges.
Well,
and like, you know, some of these things, you know, I'm going to encourage the listeners to go on and research for themselves. You know, you can't really go too deep, and I'm not really going to explain it the way it needs to be explained. So you should get it, you know, from folks who can really give you the real keys. I'm just giving you hints and clues as to the puzzle. Barack Obama, I think it's tremendous on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It will only be so if we, the people, make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
By putting pressure on him, not just accepting anything he says. He only works for us when we make him work for us. We don't work for him. He works for us.
Well, that's the oxymoron of it all, because they're quick to say, I'm a public servant. But I'll tell you one thing. When they're going to these Alfred E. Newman dinners and all of, and Barack Obama's, you know, daughters are in $25,000 a year schools, last time I checked, public servants don't do that. So, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. You know, they're all saying, well, we're a public servant. They've got housekeepers and this and that and all of these other things. Public servants, in my opinion, typically serve the public. It's not self-serving. There's a lot of activity that's been going on in the chat room, and big shout out to everybody. What's up, Dave? And Jerry, you said, Jerry, your wife is listening. Hey, Jerry, come to my house Friday. I'm having a get-together. You're invited. Dave, give her the invitation. Hi, Road and True, and everybody else joining us in the chat room. Let me say, Hakeem, some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. And it's been a lot, so I'm going to try to make through these conversations. True put, it's a true thought. I do have my own opinion, and this is about Barack Obama, on him, and understand that he is a politician. My mom put a picture of him in the house. I was a little offended. I'm not even on the wall. That's kind of funny. he also put that Americans are too busy. Hold on one second. Let me go back. High Road put, we're too concerned with football and Jennifer Hudson and what she does and what Michelle Obama is wearing. Try to have a serious, enlightening conversation like this, and people tune out. Well, yeah, that's exactly why. And you know what, High Road? I see your comment about the chat room on Friday. You know something? Let me say this to you, Hakeem. I have a very active show, chat room, and one of my listeners just put in the chat room that our chat room is packed on Fridays. And you heard me say at the top of the show, what do I do on Friday? It's a party.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, my show is a straight party. You know, old school, we're talking fun stuff. And today, my chat room is not as full. So, High Road, I see you just put the chat room is packed on Fridays, though. You're absolutely right. I also got a question for you. It says, Cy, ask him if he knows the significance of the dollar being taken off the gold or silver standard by Nixon.
No, it wasn't taken off the gold or silver standard by Nixon. It was taken off by – we were taken off the gold and silver standard, I want to say, President Woodrow Wilson – in 1913, took us off the gold and silver standard when he illegally instituted the Federal Reserve Bank. Well, he didn't do it, but he was used as a tool. Like, they put him in as president so he would do it. He didn't really fully understand what was happening. He did it, and right after he did it, he regretted the move and said he just handed the country over to basically our oppressors, and we would never figure it out. Like, it's a sad story. President Woodrow Wilson is a pitiful case. He's a pitiful
man.
Wow. Because, you know, but let me, to go back to the gold and silver standard, the dollar, all right, you got to look at it like this, right? Silver, diamonds, gold, and oil, rocks, minerals have value, right? Has value. Ancient civilization used those standards for commerce, right? Paper doesn't have value. You can get paper anywhere. Has no value, okay? Our country's economy was run by the amount of gold and silver we had. That's what the power was. That's what made us sovereign as a nation. They had to get us off of our sovereignty. So, tricked President Woodrow Wilson and the Congress at the time to turn over the money. Basically, the Congress is the only organization constitutionally, lawfully able to print money, to set the weights of the money. They gave the responsibility, handed it over to the Federal Reserve in 1913. Since 1913, have never audited the Federal Reserve once.
Are you serious one more time, I hope you know I'm saying are you serious, not to question what you're saying, but to be like, yo, I can't believe it.
Nah, it's the truth. We've never, it's a part of the public record. It's not a secret. We've never audited the Federal Reserve once. We don't know how much gold and silver we have. So guess how much gold and silver we have? Nothing.
That's bananas.
The only reason for war is to create debt. That's it. Only reason you have war is to get a nation in debt so you can control it. Why do we just go to war?
I don't know still.
So to create debt, America entered the new millennium with multi-trillion dollar surplus. Through the Clinton years, we created a surplus. Right?
Yep.
We have to control the nation. How are they going to control us? Through debt.
Can I speak to that very quickly? I was having a conversation. I owned a house before, and I was talking to my husband about just home ownership, and he raised a very valid point. Everybody we know that owns a home, barring the fact that right now a lot of homeowners are struggling, every homeowner we know is in debt. They front like they're happy, but they're not, and this is why. No matter how much work they put into their house, something is always broken. They're always handing over their paycheck for taxes to fix a pipe, to do this, to do that. And if you don't pay taxes on your house, even if you own it, your house is taken away. Now this
that means you don't own it.
There you go. And my husband said, "Sai, that's because we're never going to own Jack." And I'm scratching my head like, so then why does America push home ownership? Because it seems to me as though if I make $1,500 every 2 weeks and I'm handing over for mortgage, handing over for water bill, hand over for taxes, the cabinet broke, the kids broke the wall because they were fighting, which happened to me in my house. My kids were fighting and put a hole in the wall. Like, how are we ever going to have any money? We're working to pay for this house. That goes back to exactly what you just said. If, in fact, that's the case, then really, that's another tool to keep us enslaved, is it not?
No doubt. But here's the catch, though. Here is where law falls in, right? The devil cannot escape law. He knows it. They know it. There are provisions in the system, people who know who they are. When you come to know who you really are, I'm getting there. I'm not there. I'm far, but I'm getting there. I'm closer than I was yesterday. When you know who you really are, you realize you own everything. Everything is already bought and paid for. The payment, the value, is in your name. That's why when you get a loan, the bank goes and borrows 10 times more than what they supposedly gave you. It's called fractional banking. They only have to account for 10% of the actual amount of money out there, which allows them to get your money, and then they print up 10 times greater because the idea is that no more than 10% of the people will ever come get their money, so we'll always have it there. But we know that's bullshit, right?
Wow.
So since they're like, when you get a credit card or you get a loan, they're actually giving you 10% of all of the money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they use your signature to go get money. They give you a portion.
Yeah, that I know.
They never suffer a loss. You know what?
Let me tell you, we have a very astute audience, and I know we're all following you. Let me just read you something real quick that's jumping off in the chat room. Hyro put, not liking mortgage. He's looking into Islamic finance. A house is supposed to be an American dream, and with the Islamic finance, there's no interest. I think we have to look. The banks have engaged in a big Ponzi scheme, just like Bernie Madoff here in New York City, and they're pissed because he's pulled back the covers on what they've been doing for years.
Exactly. It's all a Ponzi scheme. It's all a Ponzi. The whole thing is it's all a pyramid scheme.
Yes. I believe, we're talking some deep stuff on this show. This is, thank God I've got good listeners who get where we're going.
But the thing is that there are mechanisms for you to not, we don't want to overthrow the system at all. It's not about overthrowing the system. It's about truly understanding the system and using it to your benefit. That's all it's about. It's not about guns, not about violence. It's about you knowing who you are and then acting accordingly.
You know, I gotta toss this in. Working with KRS, really working closely with him, He is the one person, and this is true story, and I've never said this publicly. He is the one person who taught me to be happy with myself, aside from God. And I'm going to tell you why. Working with Chris, when we moved to Atlanta, I watched how those towers hit on September 11th. I was the one fielding those calls in his office asking for his comment. And I said, why is everybody calling him? Like, what do they care? I know it may sound a little ignorant, but this is real, honest to God talk right now. I'm like, yo, he's KRS. He belongs to hip-hop. And all these news media outlets were called, well, what does KRS think? And I'm like, he didn't go to college. He was homeless. He's a rapper. And through subsequent conversations with him, he is the one that taught me, Sai, we have all the knowledge and power we need to survive and function in this world. Something my husband has been saying for years, but you know you never listen when it's at home. And I'm like, yo, I always felt inferior. And my listeners know, y'all know, I went to this teeny-weeny, very exclusive, expensive private school in New York. So I was, you know, you go to Brown, you go to Yale, you go to Harvard. So when I got pregnant my senior year, went to community college, and then went on to get more, you know, increase my studies, I'm like, I need a master's, I need this. That's a hook, too, because all these people now with all these advanced degrees are so far in debt with student loans, and now they have no job to pay it back. And my friends with master's degrees and all these, they're asking me help to get how to write a resume. I'm like, wait a minute, didn't you learn this? And it goes back to the time I spent with KRS that taught about knowledge of self, knowing who you are, and knowing how you can function and maneuver and navigate in this slick, shiesty world in which we live.
You know, I don't like the word believe. Because,
tell me why.
Because, well, in the middle of the word believe is the word lie.
Lie.
Be lie. When you ask somebody for directions, and they say to you, "Well, I believe you go to the corner and make a left," ask somebody else. The person just told you he doesn't know. I know I'm going. The other thing is, now, Saida, you're not a doctor, right?
No.
Not a doctor.
No.
You had to perform heart surgery. Could you? Probably not, right?
No, I could put a Band-Aid on my kid. That's about it.
All right, now check this out. Your heart is beating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your heart functions fine, right? Doesn't it interact with all the different parts of your body and pushes blood through your system, which supplies oxygen to all? Like, your heart works fine.
Yeah.
Which means the knowledge of how the heart works is inside you.
Yeah.
You know it, you just don't know how to access it. All of the knowledge of the entire world is in all of us. We all come into the world at a different point with a different perspective, therefore a different job to do.
Mm.
But the knowledge of the whole is within inside you too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We think that they say being saved comes from the outside. That's what we're taught. So we're always looking from without to go further, right?
Yep.
When proper knowledge is that each individual is a divinely created being, therefore shares in the sovereignty of that God.
Wow.
Government was created thus. Government is not something that you look to help you with your life. I say it's not something that you look. The benefit of your life is not in the government. You use
Barack
the government.
Barack Obama is saying that too, you know, and I think there's a message in that as well.
Mm. You use the government for the benefit of your life, not the other way around. But it's actually the government is set up that way. We just, too many of us are not interested. For whatever reason.
Why is that? Tons of reasons why
people don't know. Me included, I don't know everything, and there's reasons why I don't know everything. And not all of them are, you know, I mean, I got my things with me. However, knowing who you are and in interacting with other people in the same manner that you want to be treated, because you know you God, so therefore they God, and we all God, then we start to use the government in a completely different way, and we act as free beings not indebted to, and it has nothing to do with the bailout. Like, the bailout, the whole bailout is knowledge that the people have unlimited wealth. The people do. It is their money. We're paying for it by working for it with our labor. We're paying for shit we already got. The money we use, the cash, the dollars, are nothing but receipt notes that we use to balance the books. It's not money. It's receipt. I received the money out in the you know what I'm saying, in the universe that I was supposed to get, and here's my receipts for it.
But let me toss something real quick to you, because I have a lot of spiritual people that listen to my show. And just, I hope you can stick around a couple minutes more, because the show is scheduled to finish in just less than 5 minutes. But if you can just spend a couple more minutes with me so we can wrap this up, I would greatly appreciate it. Real quick, it says, the whole world is looking for us to lead, but we don't even see the relevance of ourselves. Someone else put, Curly put, the Bible says, believe that he died for you and you shall be saved, so don't buy the believe story. Without vision, people perish. People aren't even looking for the right answer.
Stop right there. I wasn't going too far. I got to touch that.
Okay. That's why I asked you before I read the question, could you stick around just for a couple more minutes? Because that's important.
We just start with that one?
Yeah. Go.
Okay.
Your mark is set. Go.
Okay. So the Bible, I'm going to do it like this. Whenever you study words, take out the vowels. The origin of the word is in the consonant sound. All consonant sounds have a link to the ancient world. Therefore, like all these, that's why Spanish, and there are so many similarities to English, and like every language has a connection. Okay? Bible and Babel is the same thing. That's first. The Old Testament, which is where the book comes from, is originally written in Hebrew. Hebrew is a Sumerian language, which means that the knowledge of the Hebrews is really the knowledge of the Sumerians. Okay? The Old Testament sets law. Law. That's what the Old Testament is primarily about. The law, right? The Hebrew language is not a set of letters, it's a set of numbers. The numbers represent numeric frequencies, which help you to manipulate the law.
Say that one more time.
The Hebrew language is really ancient Sumerian. The letters are not numbers. The letters are actually numbers representing numeric frequencies. It helps you to understand and manipulate law, the law. Okay? Because the law is mathematic. It's God's foundation of the universe is through mathematics and numbers. That's what the Hebrew language is. So when these stories were being put together in Hebrew, or actually ancient Sumerian, they were putting together magical spells, S-P-E-L-L-S. That's why you spell words, because that's what you're doing. You're
casting spells?
Casting spells. That's why you're spelling. The power of the word is in the sequence. And that's Carl Thomas, by the way.
But even, I want to bring him into the conversation. I actually extended the show to 1:30, and I do have to go because I have a meeting. But that's where, when you talk about it from a biblical perspective, because now it looks like the conversation is taking on a spiritual slant, that's why they say life and death is in the power of the tongue, because you have to be careful. I believe, and I'm saying believe for a reason, I believe that's one of the reasons you have to be very careful about what you say. Now, you said that's Carl Thomas in the back. Would he mind just commenting on that a little bit? Or
just how you doing, first of all?
Hi, Carl. How are you? We got to have you on a Friday, too.
I'm doing great. But just to comment on that, you know, I think what Hakeem was really trying to get at is that basically there are few people listen to ideas, because that's what basically what you go to when you go to church to listen to the shepherd. The shepherd is basically sharing ideas of Christ, Christ's ideas with you. You know what I mean? So if you look in the Bible, every time that it uses the word love, it uses it in the form of a verb, in the form of an action, doing something. You know what I mean? So the power is in the actual sequence of the words. You know what I mean? I think that's basically, and you know what I mean? You don't want to, I don't want, I mean, not to sound too mystic about it, you know. But
that's the nature of this show. This show is, we explore.
And I definitely understand that. It's just important for people to just to know that an understanding, the foundation of whatever it is that you're trying to get, should be based in I'm trying to understand something. And if you attack it like that, then I think that the answers that you're searching for will be revealed. You know, but I don't think that you can acquire anything from dictation. I don't think that you can actually acquire anything from a point of dictation.
Is it because of the power of the words? And then I think even with that, we have to get into the etymology and origin and root of these words and the power in which they all contain.
Yes. Yes. But it's an ongoing thing. Like, it's an active thing. It's not something that you ever really arrive at. We're all striving to get to a more perfect, like that, again, back to the government, a more perfect union. You know what I mean? Where, like, the people really have to go in. Like, you know, there's this term on the street right now. Yo, I'm going in, son. I'm going in. Like,
yeah.
You gotta really go in and then apply what's in on what's out.
Yeah.
The illusion is that there is a separation between church and state.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is the illusion in which allows us to approach each other from a separatist nature.
Yeah.
And we have to really, really be careful of that, because the more you feed into that, the more you get away from understanding how you are connected to all things.
You know, Carl, let me throw this out at you. I, at one point, thought I was going into ministry. I said, I'm going to go into seminary. I love the Lord. Ah, God is good. And the higher I got up in my area of church, I started to become a little frustrated because I saw things I wasn't exactly happy with. Now, I remember saying to a pastor, we were at a hotel at a convention. I got to, because my books are From Hip Hop to Heaven and From Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls and Can Hip Hop Be Holy, and I'll send you in Hakeem copies of my books. I really started speaking at a lot of these large religious organizations and their events at these hotels. We were standing in a hotel in the hallway trying to get to our room assignments. You know how you check in, they give you a key, you don't know where you're going in these huge hotels. And I said to the pastor as we were walking, because there were a lot of politicians attending the event, this particular event, and I said, Pastor, is there really a separation between church and state? Just as a whimsical conversation, because a lot of political people were speaking where we were speaking, and we're coming from a religious perspective. And this is what she said. She said, Saida, you know how, and for anybody that really goes to a lot of hotels, you look down a long corridor and there's just hotel rooms to the left and to the right. She said, you know how there's this door, and she faced me to the left. She said, there's one door, right? And she said, you know that door down there? And I said, yeah. She said, well, what you don't see is the adjoining door behind this wall connecting both of those rooms.
Right.
She said, for everybody walking down this hallway, it seems as though everybody has their own room. But once you get inside, there's that door, that secret passageway that connects both rooms. And she said it to me.
Once you get inside, it's not even a secret anymore.
There you go. It's an open secret, because now everybody knows everybody's room is connected. And what she did, I will never forget that conversation, because that forever changed my life about the perspective of being a leader in ministry, which is why I'm a life coach, not a minister, because I don't want, if I curse or if I slip something out, I'm Saida. That's who I am. I'm not professing to be this Messiah-like person who stands on a stage leading people to the promised land, knowing that I'm behind this closed door with all these other people. And that's
well, I'm
going to
tell
out.
You something. I'm
yeah.
going to tell you the God's church is not about, okay, you know how it says, you know, God's coming back looking for the perfect church.
Right.
Right? Now, it's not about being perfect, but it is about the awareness. You know what I mean? It's not about being perfect, being quote-unquote saved, whatever, you know what I mean, you want to call it. It's not about that. It's about the consciousness thereof, you know what I mean? It's not about you not cussing and about you not, you know, doing things that would be deemed not to be righteous or whatever. It's not about that. It's about the consciousness, you know what I mean? It's about what your quote-unquote religion is, your daily, your habitual life. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
what it's really about. It's about what you habitually, you know what I mean? Some people, PlayStation is their religion because
right.
that's what habitual life is about. Now, if your habitual life is about praising God, then that is the real to me. You know what I mean? Not about your mistakes. It's about the consciousness thereof.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, there is a such thing as people, now you, there is a such thing as reprobation. You know what I mean? Having a mind of reprobation. And I think that we confuse the two. Having a mind of reprobation means you don't even have the mind to do right. That's what that means. And there are people out there like that. There are people out there like that. You know what I mean? But a lot of people tend to confuse the. There's nothing wrong with being a minister, going to the ministry, because there are many different kinds of forms of ministry. You know what I mean? Going back to the statements of what you guys said about Barack Obama, you know, I think that guys have to really understand that this is nature. A lot of people really don't want to admit nature, even in relationships. That's why you get into arguments about monogamy and what have you, because a lot of people really don't want to admit nature. Check this out. Nature said and dictates this. There must be something on the exterior to attract you to the interior. The Bible says first the natural and then the spiritual. Okay? You ever heard the old folks say, you're so heaven-bound that you're no earthly good?
Yes, I hear that all the time in the church.
That means get out the clouds, man. We live here on earth.
Right.
That means, you know what I mean? Barack Obama, you know, you talk about him being a politician, this and that, him playing the game and this and that and the game. You know, that perception is the shades that you choose to view life through.
I agree with that statement.
Shade of glasses that you choose to view life through. So that means even the truth itself is a perception. So what Hakim said about the Hebrew language actually being mathematical, actually being numbers, you know what I mean? It's not for someone who traditionally would follow the Bible to be jilted. It's not about that. It's just about understanding all sides of it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I
it's about understanding
something?
All sides of it.
Carlos,
can I interject
something very quickly? Let me just say one thing very quickly, please. That's what I put in the chat room, actually, a couple of minutes ago, because there was some dialogue about the direction that the conversation was going in. It said that it's unlikely that people bring technology and things like that into a religious conversation. And based on the nature of the way the conversation was going in the chat room, I specifically put in the chat room, this show is about bringing you all sides of information. It's up to you to use your gift of discernment to accept or reject or allow it into your life. We had a show one time about tithing, and it got very, very, very heated on both sides of the argument, pro and against tithing. And I said then, and I'll say it again right now, the purpose of Life Remixed Radio, which is why it's called Life Remixed, is to rethink everything you know to live your best life the way you see it and the way you perceive it, which includes politics, religion, relationships, and all of those things. So I just wanted to get that in there because you were kind of getting ready to go in that direction. You have to take this information out and do what's best for you.
Let me just leave you with this, and you put it out there how you want, okay? Now, in my life right now,
mm-hmm.
what I'm dealing with is a belief versus an idea. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A belief versus an idea. I'm kind of afraid of emphaticness.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit, just a little bit. Emphaticness makes me nervous because it kind of, in other words, it kind of stumps room for growth. It kind of leaves little room for difference.
Mm.
If you've never entertained the idea that you could be wrong, then have you ever truly thought for yourself?
Oh, wow.
Have you ever truly thought for yourself? And if you never truly thought for yourself, is it really possible for you to choose God with the honesty of your heart?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Is it really? You know, these are questions that we don't ask ourselves because we are convinced that who we are is more important than what we are. We're convinced of it. We are convinced that who we are is more important than what we are. What we are has always been. Now, who we are is a story yet unfolding. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Who we are has not yet been established until your appetite. And they're speaking at your funeral, then who you are will be established.
Wow. Is that because at that
point? What you are is a human being who is 98% water. That's what you are.
So then where does character come into that? Because if you're saying, if in fact we're going on the premise that who we are is established once we've transitioned, and then people can look back and say, hey, Cy was a mom, she was that girl, whatever it is, that as opposed to Cy writes books, she hosts a radio show.
All
whatever.
Folks say 99 and a half won't do. You got to make 100. Because who you are will not be established until it's over, until this form is over, that is.
Right.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah, please do, Hakeem.
Because Carl said what you are is water, and I was just adding water and light.
Water and what? I didn't hear you.
Water and light. Yeah. Water and light.
L-I-G-H-T or L-I-F-E?
No, L-I-G-H-T.
Light. Oh, okay, water and light. Okay.
Water and light, and light is the spirit. What?
Because the show late mass.
You know what I'm saying? Like, The deeper part of the conversation is this is all an illusion, which is a whole nother issue.
Yeah, I got to get ready to wind down the show, but let me just say this. I did a show one time on the absence of time and the fact that time doesn't exist and that there's no such thing as time.
Ooh,
and that was a show that was what'd you say?
The past, present, and future are happening at the same time.
Baby steps, y'all. Baby steps. Baby steps. Steps, guys. God.
On the absence of time. You guys
baby
are steps. Funny.
That's not. Be fair. Be fair. Baby steps. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. If we are mass, right? And mass is made of molecules. And molecules are made of atoms. And when you split an atom open, there's nothing there. It's hollow. Then what does that really mean?
Well, I believe we're all spirit mastering a human experience. If you consider it light, water. I'm looking in the chat room. It says, what you are is a living soul created in the image and likeness of God. But if it's in the image of likeness of God, High Road, then does that not make us God-like? Because we are who we look like.
No, but that's
all I'm saying is.
Wait. One at a time, because it's coming in muffled.
That's right. All I'm saying to that person, whoever wrote that in the chat room, is this. What you're saying is correct, but it also, okay, this is going to make people not like me, but.
No, we all love everybody here. It's your opinion.
It can be scientifically explained. And that's all I'm saying. What she's saying, it from a certain perspective, but.
It was just put in the chat room. It says, actually, scientists are finding that there is something there, and that was in response to me saying we're all spirit mastering a human experience, and I put molecules, and he put, actually, scientists are finding that there is something there. But I have to get ready to wind down today's show. Carl and Hakeem, please give everybody your final thoughts, please, because this, and I'm putting it out there. I welcome the opportunity. And I'll talk to you guys. I'm going to call you after the show, and we'll talk behind the scenes to come back on the show because I extended the show, which I don't do that often, and the conversation has taken my listeners and me in a totally different direction, but this is what we do, and this is how we get down weekdays at 12 noon. Last thing that High Road put in the chat room is that there is always reality that beyond what you can perceive, and I believe that. But final thoughts from the two of you guys. I don't care who goes first, and then I'm getting ready to wind down the show.
My final thoughts would be...
who is this, Carl?
Yeah, this is Carl.
This is Carl.
My final thoughts would be fear and love are the only real actions in life, and everything else is a man-made reaction of those two actions, and understand what you've created versus what the Creator has created, and do not live your life confusing the two.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you very, very much for appearing on my show, Life Remix Radio. I appreciate it, as do my listeners, and I'm very happy to have you on today. Thank you very much. Hakeem, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. In terms of the Barack Obama topic, I think it's more about us making him work for us. That's it. However, we need to do that. We need to make him work for us. I don't know how that's going to happen, but the people need to make Barack Obama work for us. And then that's my final thought.
Well, I agree with you because he is and always professes to be a public servant. Everybody who listened to the show today, thank you so much. I appreciate it, your girl, Cy Brown. To Mogul Mom, who I see joined us in the chat room. Hello, Mogul Mom. I didn't get a chance to properly acknowledge when I saw you come in the chat room. How elegant. Sandy, what's going on, girl? Your show is on tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard. You know I'm an early bird. You know that's why my kids probably sneaking out the house in the middle of the night because I'm in bed, but I try to be in bed by like 10 o'clock. But I'll definitely try to check your show out tomorrow. To Dave, to Vernon, to True, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out with me in the chat room. Tomorrow we are talking technology for the full hour, how to make money on the Internet, how to grow your Internet business. So we have a great show tomorrow. And always remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer it or let us not neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. It's your girl, Cy Brown, right here for Life Remix Radio. Today I had Hakeem Green from Channel Live and R&B. Oh, new friend in my head, Carl Thomas. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. It's your girl, Cy Brown. Politics Remix was our show today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
As we proceed to give you what you need,
this is DaJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.